Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I don't want y'all to double that fire insurance. I'm struggling now to pay the $125 now. And I don't know what I'll do if you double it.
Oh, I'm here to talk about the tax increase. I'm opposed to it. I think it's ridiculous. I mean, I watch my homeowner's insurance go up, and then I look at the taxes at the end of the year to pay, and I think it's crazy. I think it's absolutely crazy.
What are we getting for what we're paying you? What are you going to give us? The status quo? Or are we going to raise the bar? Are we going to increase the quality of service that we're paying for? Are you going to put full ALS engine companies at every fire station?
You know, this is actually a very interesting conversation. You had the discussion at the budget meeting for the Escambia County Commission, and this is actually, you know, I had not gotten to this on the air. In fact, I hadn't even watched it entirely. It slipped past me, and because it's a budget meeting, and I thought, I'm not watching. I have to draw the line somewhere, you know, and I had not watched the budget meeting, even though I knew I should. Well, then there was some interesting things that I had heard had happened in the budget meeting and read about it. So, I'll go back and watch the budget meeting. Oh, I'm glad I did. It was really interesting. So at the budget meeting, they were doing things like finalizing the fire MSBU in Escambia County that doubles the cost of every homeowner for their fire tax. You know, 100 and a quarter is what it had been. It goes to 250. If you're, that's if you're residential. Of course, if you're a business, it's a little bit different formula. And there were some issues with the island authority and the way they're, you know, what are they going to pay and all that. I'm not going to get into the details. The short version is that the fire service, if you're a homeowner, is going to cost you $100 or $125 more, double, and it's going to raise about $16 million for the county. Okay, so about $16 million for the county. And that's, you know, there's a, I did the math on this and, let's see, $16 million. I want to make sure I get it right because I don't want to say the wrong number. I had done it already, but I'll do it again here. That just a number to keep in mind is that there's about 128, 125, somewhere in that vicinity, 1,000 homes in the county. Remember, there's about 330,000 people in Escambia County. There's about 220 or so thousand, I think, in Santa Rosa County. So 128,000 homes. Okay, so for example, if Escambia County wants to get $500,000, everybody pays about $4 a year. $5 million would be about $40 a year. Just so you kind of get a relationship between the numbers at the county budget level and the how much it costs you as a homeowner. Okay? Well, they had a conversation about all of this, and of course that was never really on the table to change it. They had really committed that they were going to do that to double the fire service fee. Well, as time goes on in the conversation, you get to the part where they're funding the outside agencies. Outside agencies you would think of as charities. They sometimes call them community partners. There's all different kinds of community partners, okay? Some of them do healthcare work. Some of them, all kinds of stuff, okay? And it's perennially kind of a question how much or how little to fund them. And, you know, some of them do very, very important things that we don't want to see go away. But, of course, in the aggregate, that winds up costing you, I think the number is about $17 million. I could be wrong on that, but it's in that vicinity, okay, when you talk about it. So the total cost of the increase of the fire service fee is about the same as the total cost of the outside agencies, if you want to kind of put, you know, rough figures in your mind about where the money goes. So Ashley Hoffberger is raising a question about a program called Keep Pensacola Beautiful. And a good program to, you know, clean up litter, keep the roads pretty good. But there's an issue she has with the way it's structured. And this is going to seem like the most insider baseball of kind of things, but you'll see where it's going eventually. And it's going to take us kind of all day today to talk through some of this stuff. But it's important for you to understand because ultimately, you know, money is what funds the county and it's your money, right? You're a taxpayer. So Ashley Hoffberger
Okay. Well, one of the things that I had mentioned to Allison and Wes is the Keep Pensacola Beautiful. You guys do great work. I think we should keep you on. But I would like to see that go as a actual item in the budget as an expense from a vendor, because we do also have a contract with them. So it is a little confusing that we have a contract with Keep Pensacola Beautiful, which they do amazing work. They're awesome for us. But then we're also giving them money as a nonprofit.
So they keep the roadsides clean, short version of what they do. And they do a very good job by everybody's account. But part of the money that goes to them goes to kind of almost like a contract. You know, you're going to keep 50 roads. This is a made up quantity, but you know, you're going to keep 50 roads clean, and it's, and we're going to give you, and again, this is a made up number, I'm sorry, but let's say $200,000. Okay. It's probably less than that, but I'm just, again, I'm totally making up numbers just so you get the concept. But we're not going to give you just $200,000. We're going to give you $400,000. And for the extra $200,000, you're going to do additional things as a charity, because we believe in you as a charity, that you go out and keep more roads clean than we're actually paying a contract for. And what she's saying is, this is weird, because there might be some private entity that wants to basically sell us the service of keeping the roadside clear, as opposed to the charity or the, you know, service organization, if you prefer that term. Charles Baer, the city councilman, Charles Baer is the executive director or CEO or whatever. And, you know, what we're doing with you is we're doing kind of two different things. We're buying a service, but we're also funding you as a charity. And that's kind of confusing from a bookkeeping perspective. Also, maybe if you have to function as a seller, as a vendor for the county, then maybe you have to compete against other entities that might provide a similar service. Maybe if you go through the process of what's called procurement, you get a better deal because somebody else comes in and bids lower or something like that. But she raises this question of whether an outside agency, a charity, Keep Pensacola Beautiful, should be funded through the normal outside agencies process, or whether it should be funded through procurement as a vendor with a contract and with deliverables that can be verified or not. You kind of follow the distinction that she's making. Stephen Barry.
It's an issue that the board had raised a couple of times over the years about they receive money as a nonprofit, and then they also compete for work, you know. And it's been at multiple budget hearings or workshops where we've discussed it. The board has left the arrangement as is. So it's a very decent question. It's one I've asked myself a couple of times, but there hasn't been an appetite to make a change to that. But
okay, so a charitable read of this comment by Stephen Barry is that he's just trying to give a little bit of the history that predates Ashley Hoffberger's time on the board, and tell her that, you know, we have talked about this before. I'm not totally opposed to it, but we've always decided no in the past. That's the sort of nice interpretation. The less nice interpretation is that Stephen Barry doesn't want to see this happen. And, oh, crap, this, District 4, Ashley Hoffberger, is raising a question I don't want to see happen. And so I'm going to thwart it. And the way I'm going to thwart it is I'm going to give her a history lesson and make her feel like her idea has been sort of discussed and tried before and rejected by, you know, people who have more experience than she has. For whatever reason, you know, you interpret how you will. I'm just telling you those are kind of the interpretive options. In any case, he's trying to, you know, shove her off. Like, say, hey, no, we're not going to do it that way. I don't think we should do it that way. And Ashley Hoffberger comes back and says,
I just feel like if they're providing a service for the county and we're paying them to do something in the capacity of a vendor, we should have an actual contract for that. It shouldn't be under the nonprofit donation list.
Yeah, and Commissioner, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I don't know that the second budget hearing is the time to hash it out, though.
I mean, okay, so now it's not just, I don't necessarily disagree with you on the one hand, but, you know, we have talked about this before, and, I mean, come on. It's a little late in the process, don't you think, to bring this up at the second budget hearing? I mean, you know, let's do it next year. Let's not do a cut this year. Let's not do a change this year. Stop tinkering.
Yeah, I think that's really a workshop item in June, you know, July, August item. I don't know that. Or even a first budget hearing, I don't know that it's, you know, fair to our, and you know, then Charles is certainly able to advocate on his own behalf, but whether it's Charles or somebody else, I don't know that, you know, that it's fair to come to this meeting.
It's not fair of you to bring this up at this meeting. And to some degree, he has a point. This is last step in the process. This is finalizing everything. But it's still a meeting, and it's still an opportunity to do changes and make observations and raise objections and ask questions. And, you know, there's a truth on his side and there's a truth on her side. And again, you as a voter have to decide who you think is being more reasonable in all of this. But Ashley Hofberg comes back and says, well,
I had asked Allison and Wes, and they told me to bring it up at this meeting.
So Stephen Berry, District 5, has, you know, kind of long held control in the county, my opinion, if you ask other people as well. You know, he's been comfortable being the guy who runs things in front over behind the scenes. And he says, look, this is not the appropriate time. This is not the right item. We've talked about this before. And though I'm open to it, you know, he says, and you know, you bring it up too late in the process. And he's like, well, I asked the county administrator and the county attorney, and they said bring it up today. Bro.
I had asked Allison and Wes, and they told me to bring it up at this meeting.
Well, I mean, but we were but
that Lumen May laughs because he's like, "Oh crap!"
Well, I mean, but we were together 2 weeks ago as well.
Oh, you could have brought it up 2 weeks ago. You know, you didn't have to wait until now.
And you know, and are together relatively frequently. So.
And we're together a lot. We can talk about this anytime. Why you wait so long?
I mean, there have been opportunities to bring it up.
You know, you've kind of failed, and you're out of turn, and it's late in the process. So the seeds of disagreement over the process are laid a little bit here. And the, you know, elder statesman Stephen Berry is trying to tell the newbie, you know, Ms. Hofberger, I don't know, it's not really the right time for all of this. So then they have a vote on a different issue. Because I think a lot of this is, if you really want to understand how things developed over the course of the next 2 hours in this meeting, you've got to pick up on some of these little, they're not quite out in the open things, but they're interesting little notes, you know, hints of flavor along the way, you might say, in the grand feast that is the budget hearing. So they'd have been having a conversation about funding Jazz Fest, which Cadillac Banks, you know, had this recently. The TDC had recommended against giving them any money. There had been a big hullabaloo at the TDC meeting. I never really covered it. I may go back and share it with you because it's entertaining, although it's not that much interesting, but it's very entertaining. They said no. He got angry. They got angry. There was a lot of fighting. But in the end, they said no on the money. And then they come back, and Lumen May, you know, who's very allied with Cadillac Banks, says, well, why don't we give them $200,000 instead of $250,000? And so they wind up voting on this. But pay attention to how it gets said in the process.
Chairman, why don't we vote on Commissioner May's allocation for Jazz
okay,
Fest?
Okay, that's fine.
Commissioner
I just
Hofberger's
was trying
idea,
to get
let,
to some
let Commissioner Hofberger's idea stand on its own and see what happens.
Gotcha. Okay, there's a motion.
Which is she's proposing to move, again, it's keep Pensacola Beautiful out into a different part of the budget, basically, not changing their funding or what they do, but just putting it over in procurement or contracts instead of in charities. And he says, well, instead of bundling all this stuff together, let's separate out the idea that's going to fail for Ashley Hofberger from this vote. Let's vote on this. We can pass this over her objection, 4-1. That's what the vote's going to be. And we'll deal with the other thing later. So, again, you got to really pay attention to the notes as we're going along. And then they pass the Jazz Fest for $200,000 over her objection, 4-1. She sits on the TDC, and she'd voted against it there and voted against it here. Anyway, that's fine. And then they come back and they start talking about this Keep Pensacola Beautiful contract.
Or unless she wants an amendment. You're right. Do you want to make an amendment?
I would like to make an amendment to move that to the procurement process and then move everything else forward.
So, Mr. Chairman, so I did not, and with all due respect, I mean, what he's done for me when I was at city council, the reason I did not say that I would hear from Charles because there was a motion on the floor, and so there was deliberation among the commissioners, which would not allow for public input.
Okay, so he's complaining about a Robert's Rules of Orders violation here. Fine, whatever. They're going to go for it. I just want you to, you know, Lumen is also scrambling to figure out a way not to let Ashley do this. They do not want to let her do this. They do not want to move Keep Pensacola Beautiful over onto the procurement or contract side of things. And then basically, I didn't catch the name of who this was, explains that as a nonprofit, they don't actually have to engage in competitive bidding. They don't have to do it that way. Legally, they're not obligated to do it that way. If it's a commercial firm doing a vendor thing, you have to put out a bid, or you have to put out a request for proposals, bids, and then you open the bids, and then you look at whatever. Anyway, so they wind up talking about this, and it's very satisfying to Ashley that she gets that question answered, that the competitive bids thing is not a problem. But then you get what I consider to be the key moment. This is what we're kind of, the whole monologue I've been building is to get you to this point to hear her say this thing.
So I'm just trying to see what would be the benefit of moving it to, if it's a non-compete, you can sole source it without having them to go through the procurement process. What would be the difference from moving it? I mean, what would be the purpose?
So in full transparency, I think we need to look at removing the charities that we support, because I think that the general cry from the community is stop spending my taxpayer dollars on things that aren't specifically for the government. When we put it, I feel like when we put it on this chart as community partners, it's like a donation to a charity, not that we're paying them for a service, when in actuality, we are paying them for a service. So I feel like it provides more transparency to the community. I realize it's the same dollars, but the transparency level to the community, I feel like would be much better if we had an actual contract and it was not just a charity that we were supporting.
Okay. This is a major announcement. She wants to get rid of all, at least it sounds like, either get rid of or reconsider all of the outside agency funding. Something that Doug Underhill had wanted to do when he was in office, something that conservatives in the community have long thought. You know what's really weird? That you take our tax dollars and give it to charities instead of letting us give our money to charities. We're going to fund the government where you buy things, but we're not going to fund the government for you to dole out money to, you know, the Kiwanis Club and the Rotary and the, you know, the Hajai Shrine and all of these different entities that come and beg the county for money. They can survive on their own or not based on private donations. That's not the job of government. And keep Pensacola beautiful. We really want to keep what they're doing, but the way to keep it is to move them into a contract relationship where they're a vendor selling us a service with terms and deliverables. And then later on, let's come back and let's wipe the slate clean on all these millions of dollars that we're giving to charity. And all of the charities in Pensacola heard this and went, ah! Because it's a lot of money. And they all get money. And this is what leads to things like the, you know, the big buddy brags about, I'll give you $500 for this and I'll give you $500 for that, and all the discretionary funding that goes into that, and just all, and also makes it so that all of these people are in a position where they can't really criticize the government because they depend on the government to give them the money that helps their organizations do all the good things that they do. So this is a huge shot across the bow kind of announcement. And Stephen Barry comes back and says, well, I'm not going to vote for this tonight. It's going to have unintended consequences. It's late in the process and, you know, simmer down. And she basically says, I'll drop it. That's fine. But the shot's been fired. And so what you can expect next year in budget conversation, and this is just part one of the budget hearing that it's important to understand. You can expect that next year in the spring, when they start having these budget conversations, and in the summer, there's going to be a robust discussion about whether the government should be funding anybody that's an outside agency or a charity. And even if they do good work, because she says the taxpayers are sick of paying for this stuff, and in a budgetary constrained environment where people are fighting to pay their taxes, nobody wants to spend more money on government. So that's why I bring this to you. It seems like a teeny tiny issue, but this is going to be a big thing coming up next year, I expect. 526 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, oh, let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games?
Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Good morning, 529 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. James Uthmeyer, the current appointed attorney general, who's going to run for attorney general again, gets a nod from President Trump, his endorsement. Good. There's kind of an open question about whether other people might have been available to run and would have gotten his nod first or not, but did not choose to seek the office. So, you know, Matt Gaetz is one of those names you kind of hear about, and some others as well. Maybe, you know, the Speaker of the House, former Danny Perez. In any case, Uthmeyer has gotten Trump's endorsement. Meanwhile, the grand jury has been impaneled about the Hope Florida Foundation scandal, and they don't tell you what they're doing before they actually do it. But, of course, he's one of the key figures in that investigation. And one does wonder where that might go, whether, and there's not been, of course, yet, but whether the indictment might include his name if one ever does come forward, and what it would mean for an indicted attorney general on a financial scandal who got the endorsement of President Trump. And even were he to get convicted, could President Trump pardon him? Could he still win the election? Would he still win? You know, what would matter more to the voter, the fact that Trump endorsed him or the fact that he got indicted by the grand jury? I mean, you know, again, this is all spitball. This is all hypothetical. This is all, like, way out in the future potential. But just so you kind of get a sense of the landscape before the landscape develops, those are some of the things that are going to be probably in the news over the course of the next year as we ramp up to the election in 2026.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Israel and Hamas signing off on the Trump peace plan.
So much is happening to get the hostages freed, and we think they'll all be coming back on Monday.
President Trump on Fox's Hannity and today in Tel Aviv. Celebrations in Hostages Square, where some are carrying signs that say, "We love Trump."
Israeli officials now announcing that there is a ceasefire in Gaza. Now, Israeli forces still on the territory. They will respond if attacked, but basically taking up a defensive posture right now. So certainly an excellent sign, ceasefire in this two-year war from the Israeli side.
Fox's Steve Harrigan, the Israeli cabinet must sign off on the agreement that will free the remaining hostages. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, night. It's 5:31 here at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 74 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies here this morning in Pensacola. There is an investigation underway after a shooting in the Montclair neighborhood yesterday. The call for that came in about 7 o'clock last night at the 4400 block of DeVille Way. According to the sheriff's office, a victim was found with a gunshot wound to the chest in the front yard of a home. He was taken to the hospital. There's no update on that victim's condition at this time. The sheriff's office did say a gun and shell casings were found in the area, and no other details have been released on that, but we'll have more as we learn about it here throughout the day. Well, big news yesterday from the city of Pensacola. The search for a city administrator is over. Mayor D.C. Reeves says David Stafford will be taking that position. He brings 3 decades of experience in local politics and public service to the city.
And not only does he bring 30 years of experience both in the political field and in public service, but certainly in leadership, and we're very, very excited to have him.
Stafford served as the longtime supervisor of elections before leaving to work a cybersecurity job. Mayor Reeves says Stafford is also a native Pensacolan, and he believes his sterling reputation will be an asset to the city. His first day on the job will be October 27th. Well, 1 week into the government shutdown, the Pensacola airport not reporting any big staffing issues.
You know,
right,
we have
right
a great
now.
Communications with the FAA, so if there's any operational issues, they're going to let us know. And we haven't heard anything, and that goes with our friends at TSA also.
That's Airport Director Matt Coughlin, and he says they haven't heard of any major delays or flight cancellations locally, although there are fears that a long-running shutdown could result in issues as air traffic controllers and TSA agents are forced to work without pay until that shutdown is resolved. Coughlin did say some minor 10 to 20 minute delays were expected on select flights periodically, but he's just advising folks to check with their airlines for the latest information on any of that. It's 5:33 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Phil Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today, a little on the warm side. Starting off with temperatures in the 70s as you head into your afternoon, high around 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. Friday night, temperatures starting to fall, 62 degrees. Going into Saturday, beautiful sunny weather with a high near 82. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it's partly cloudy, 74 degrees here in Pensacola. Our next news at 6 a.m., breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of SoftBank jumped as much as 13% this morning, a day after the Japanese giant announced a deal to buy the robotics division of Swiss engineering firm ABB for $5.4 billion, further advancing SoftBank's AI footprint. The deal is subject to regulatory approval globally. AMD shares rose 11% yesterday, putting its gain this week at 43%. The chipmaker is continuing its massive climb since OpenAI announced plans to buy billions of dollars of AI equipment from AMD. Investors took the partnership to mean that AMD could become a viable challenger to NVIDIA's current top position in the AI chip market. Google is placing new limits on its popular work-from-anywhere policy, which it established during the COVID pandemic. According to internal documents viewed by CNBC, a single work-from-anywhere day will now count as a full week. Tech companies are increasingly forcing employees to spend more time in the office. Futures are mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost one. That's Your Money Now.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Blackley throws it up near sideline towards the end zone. Picked off! Four-man rush. Mendoza stepping up. He goes down.
House call. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Start your college football day this Saturday with the Florida State Seminoles and the Pitt Panthers in a key ACC matchup on the Seminole Sports Network.
FSU welcomes the Pitt Panthers Saturday. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. on News Radio 92.3.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Is Blaze Ngolia. You know, he's been chief financial officer now for a few months, and I don't think anybody's made more of an impact in that role in my lifetime in Florida than he has since he's been in there. He's been a real bulldog on all these issues.
So when I heard the governor say that last week, I thought, in just a couple of months, Blazing Olia has been the most significant CFO that he's ever seen in his life. And, you know, I do sometimes talk to the former CFO of the state of Florida, who is now our congressman. He joins me by phone now. Couldn't make it work on Monday, but we've got him for you now. Jimmy Patronis, Congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Anything you want to, I don't know, say or not say?
There's so many things to say, but man, look at the time.
All right, fair enough. No worries. I just
I love Ron DeSantis. He's done an amazing job as governor, and I wish him well and whatever he looks forward to doing in his future.
So. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'm not trying to cause trouble, but I did want to give you a chance to respond if you wanted to. Andrew, you're obviously trying to cause trouble. Well, all right. Whatever. I didn't start it. I'm just the reporter. Let's talk about government shutdown, because a couple of very significant things have been happening. One is that the president is now saying that people who are furloughed may not be entitled to back pay. I've always thought this. Why should we pay people for not working? It doesn't make sense. We didn't get the product that they were supposed to produce for all the time they didn't work. Why should they be? I mean, people who are working, you know, air traffic controllers sometimes, military, if they're working, fine, pay them their back pay, of course. But I don't know why we pay people who didn't do work.
So evidently there was some type of law written in 2019 that obligates the Congress to pay back these individuals. So, I mean, it'll be something that'll get, I'm sure it'll get debated and re-reviewed. The president kind of spoke to it yesterday with that exact same tone, and he was making it kind of a partisan reply. And it seems like a little bit later he walked it back. I think as the president's got the biggest pulpit in this space, I think he's just, you know, obviously trying to use this for his negotiating leverage with Schumer and the rest of the crazy Democrats.
Okay. The other question is, you know, when? Do you have any sense of how soon? Because people are going to start missing paychecks soon.
Correct. So 7 days and counting. We get to date 7 more days from now, these guys are going to be missing paychecks. And then it's going to be a totally different type of pain. Northwest Florida has a lot of people that count on the federal government for a paycheck. And then some people live from week to week. Some people live from month to month. Some people, you know, quarter to quarter. But some of those week to week folks are going to really start feeling some pain. And, you know, the House passed a clean CR. I think what you'll see is the president definitely wants something done, but is that he's been pretty consistent. We will work on whatever you want to talk about regarding health care subsidies after we've got a functional government. And even Pelosi came out and said, shutdowns are not made to be policy debates, you know. We'll see. I'm frustrated, but at the same time, you're really starting to get a deep dive on what parts of government we miss and what parts of government we need.
Yeah.
What we really need. And so I hope, if nothing else, we try to learn from what services are really not the role of the federal government anymore, and maybe have an opportunity to save some money at the same time.
Well, you know, that whole zero-based budgeting concept that every year you come with nothing, expecting nothing, and you get what you really can justify. Sometimes you got to experience a zero-based budget across the sector in order to really feel like, you know, well, okay, that we can do without that. No, we really cannot do without that. I mean, there's a certain validity to that that makes sense to me. One of the things, I had a conversation on Friday with Ryan Jenkins, you know, my good friend. He's a farmer in Jay, Florida. He kind of speaks for the farming community. And he was, look, you know, farming's rough to begin with. He says the tariffs are killing them. Input prices are high. Output prices are dramatic. You know, people aren't buying the stuff because of the tariffs, retaliation, whatever. But he said one of the things that has really screwed the farmers right now is the shutdown, because if it came in December, fine. If it came in March, fine. But it comes at harvest time, and there's this process by which farmers get paid for their crops through the government project plan. I don't know all the details, but he says that because the government is not working, those checks aren't coming exactly at the time when they need the money the most, and days are hurting them right now. What are you guys doing about that?
Well, and just like your point earlier, the timing of this particular shutdown has really punished them because of harvest time.
Yeah,
there have been letters circulating with members of Congress as I've gotten a couple of them asked, you know, hey, will you pile on? We're going to send this to the White House and create some urgency to get some of these checks out. Because the president's already said multiple times, look, with all these, you know, billions of dollars in tariffs that we've collected, we need to go out and help our farmers. So the president has not said it once, but he said it multiple times. I see something coming in the near future as Trump is going to take dollars, new dollars that have been collected, and try to offset some of the expectations that a functional federal government should have covered.
Okay. And I mean, we have tariff money. I mean, the tariff money is, I mean, a lot of money. And so,
that's,
you know,
right,
there's some money available. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for District 1. I don't want to let you go because you and I were talking off the air a little bit about this, and you wanted to make sure people are aware of the T-Mobile Escambia High School opportunity to possibly win $1 million for renovating their field, right?
Yeah. So this is free money. The easiest way to tell you, if you can go to my Twitter, at Jimmy Patronis, there's a link on there where you can go click it, and it will then take you to a page where you just vote, and you can vote once a day up until the day of the last vote. Right now, it's Escambia High. It's the only high school in the entire state of Florida. So I've reached out to our senators, other members of Congress, and said, guys, come on, let's turn this volume up. You know, Matt Gaetz went and tweeted it, and even Joe Scarborough went and tweeted it. I'm trying to get as many folks out there retweeting this where we can try to bring home some money for our local high school. So let's have some, you know, fun right now trying to improve a facility that, you know, everybody gets to enjoy.
Yeah, I've been talking about it. I've voted every day. I've also been voting for Blue Wind Technologies. It makes the nacelles for the coolest thing made in Florida, which is another one. But I don't think I put the Escambia High one on our Facebook page, but I will definitely do that before the day is out today, this morning, so people can go awesome. Find it very easily there. Because, yeah, free money, great thing. You know, they got, I think, $25,000 already. They could get $1 million. And even second place, I think, gets money. So, you know, that's great. I'll take it. Israel and Hamas. It seems like they're still talking, which is good, in Egypt, which is good. I mean, what's your level of optimism about this? It seems to never work. It seems to never come through. But, man, if it could, you know, I can kind of see the pathway, right?
Well, one, I think it's as good as long as Trump's in office. He kind of holds it all together. I think other, you know, sticking points is Hamas would have to give up not just all their rockets, but their firearms also. I would be shocked if that's not a sticking point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Israel will be releasing the worst and the worst of that they have in prison right now. So there's a number of really huge concessions that are being made in order to bring this in for Elena, to bring this new oversight commission in place. But I mean, it's a shame, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people have died because of this conflict. And I feel for Israel. I feel like this was their 9/11. You know, at the same time, the retaliation has brought out, you know, cries from all over the world of making sure there's a two-state solution over there. But I think President Trump has done the best that he can right now. And, you know, Steve has done an amazing job with so many other events, and the fact that Jared has history with the Abraham Accords. They're doing the best they can in Egypt. They really wanted to bring it in for a landing on the 7th. But, you know, I just think you're dealing with a fight that's existed for 3,000 years.
Yeah, as you say, this has been a conflict that's off and on again for as long as any of us have been alive, and long before that. Also, you know, it's something people, you mentioned it was their 9/11. You know, just shy of 3,000 people died directly in the 9/11 attacks. 1,200, I mean, almost half as many died in Israel in that one attack, and that's a much, much smaller country by population. So it's just, you know, in perspective,
that's
it's sometimes
right.
easy to forget just how significant that was for them. I wanted to ask you about I thought that the bringing the admirals and the generals together, I thought it was interesting. You know, Trump's speech, I kind of, you know, put that aside. But obviously Pete Hegseth's speech was very interesting. Has generated a fair amount of controversy, even some resignation since. But I thought it was the announcement that, hey, we're going to do things this way. This is how we win wars. We got to be the Department of Winning Wars and not anything else. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I think managing people is always a challenge. And as you've got these agency heads, and you see it in Tallahassee, and now you're seeing it firsthand, that these agency heads that come in and they realize they've got a massive undertaking. It's hard to steer a mountain. And so I think, you know, one to start is go ahead and get everybody face to face, do some engagement. And look, you get to hear firsthand what your new boss feels is the direction we need to go in. And look, you're going to get some, every time in Tallahassee, when you have a new department head hired, there's some people that leave because they don't like the battle rhythm of this particular new leader that's been tapped or elected or appointed to lead it. So I think this is normal. And look, some of these guys, they're retirement eligible, and you know the philosophy that's being pitched to them is not the right one. Well, you know what? I think, in my opinion, Pete Hegseth has every right to build out the team he wants to build, and the president has the right to build out every team he wants to build. And if you don't like it, the next election cycle, you go and get engaged and you go recruit the person or you vote for the guy who's going to be like-minded with your philosophy. I appreciate what Pete's doing. I think sometimes it's important to shake things up and you really figure out who's going to be loyal to the mission in order to serve the American public.
You know, it is kind of funny. For years, you hear this expression, elections have consequences, but you also hear the complaint that it doesn't really matter who I vote for. Both sides wind up doing the same things. Well, not with Trump. I mean, you know, with Trump, elections have consequences, good or bad, whatever you think. He's the one who says what he's going to do, and then he does it, and sometimes even more. And so, you know, you can't complain about it not mattering who's the president, and then complain when the president matters. It's kind of, you know, pick your poison. Hey, last thing, Congressman, I just wanted to ask you, going back to the shutdown for a second, on the issue of health care.
Yeah.
This is a thing that I'm not sure that everybody understands this, and, you know, I just kind of want to put a bug in your ear about this. But, I mean, people, this allegation about the healthcare subsidy, about the Obamacare plans, and about people having affordable health insurance, one of the challenges is, and this is for like my family, we run into this every year, is we have to decide what makes more sense for us. Is it to opt into our, you know, workplace allowed health insurance, or is it to try Obamacare? And the biggest challenge with Obamacare for us is maybe not knowing what our income is going to be. And if you get it wrong, it can cost you a lot of money if you make more than you expected to make. But sure. Also, it's knowing whether you even qualify for the subsidy and all the rules. And it always seems to come piling on right in December when decisions have to be made right away. That's one of the reasons I was talking to my wife about this. She says, part of the challenge is even if we do a CR through November, even if we push it back, it's not that. It's the what is the subsidy going to be, or is there going to be one, and what kind of health care is even on an option, and how quickly do I have to make these decisions? That's part of the challenge. The other part is I just wish Obamacare got rid of the catastrophic plan, right? You cannot just have high deductible only for the big expense items. That's the kind of car insurance right. I want for my body. I don't want to have to get free doctor's visits, but I don't want to have to lose my house because somebody got cancer or a heart attack. I want to pay a little bit of money for a big catastrophic plan with a high deductible, and I cannot. And I wish somebody could find a way right. to bring those back.
Well, I've always been that big advocate. I was in the restaurant business for 30 years. That was part of our cafeteria plan, is we allowed people, you know, we would work where they could do pre-tax purchases, where they could buy a catastrophic plan on heart disease, a catastrophic plan on cancer. And at the end of the day, if you've got good genes, and my doctor's told me this all the time, he said, Jimmy, it's all genetics, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. you can be in incredibly great shape, but your cholesterol sucks. Well, it's because, you know, you got it from your mom and dad. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's really a lot to be said for exactly what you said and what you would like to see that we once had. And, you know, we really got to bring something like that back in the marketplace. I'm sure what the challenge is the young invincibles, which we're already talking about, the ones that never use health insurance, but we figure out some way to make them pay for it. They're, you know, subsidizing all the ones that are for the older folks that are now in the mode of life where they're seeing the doctor, you know, once a quarter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know it's a big, hairy, complicated topic. I just kind of wanted to put a bug in your ear because, you know, you're in a position to do something about it. And, you know, I think a lot of us are realizing long ago that Obamacare is not the answer. What are the tweaks and changes that might make it functional or make it affordable for us? So I appreciate you listening to me rant for a second.
And what the Democrats are complaining about is the enhanced subsidies. Those were COVID-era subsidies.
Yeah.
It's not COVID anymore, okay? You know, we're out of COVID. So justify to me why we need COVID-era subsidies if we're not in COVID. So, you know, and the subsidies that are there, they are there. We're not talking about getting rid of the subsidies. We're talking about revisiting whether or not we truly need the enhancement. The enhanced subsidies that they're talking about, that's a $30 billion recurring expense. Mm. And so then I'm questioning, is it even necessary? Is it just simply going to the bottom line of the health insurance companies?
Amen. So,
I mean, that's
This is some of the struggle.
Well,
Jamie, I appreciate the time, all the different topics that we talk about. I appreciate you spending some time with our audience and with me this morning. Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Florida District 1. We'll look forward to talking to you next Monday. Thank you, as always, for the attention. I appreciate
it. Yeah, and hey, if anybody wants to lean in, if you're being affected by the shutdown, the only number you need to call is 202-224-6542. That's Chuck Schumer's office.
Jimmy, we'll talk to you next Monday.
202-224-6542.
We'll talk to you next Monday. Thank you, sir. Absolutely. Oh, by the way, a couple of notes. One, the link is now up on our Facebook page to vote for Escambia High School for that $1 million field renovation from T-Mobile. So you can go there and vote once a day. You can do that. You can continue to vote for Blue Wind for the coolest thing made in Florida. That's open for another day or two, I think, something like that. Anyway, so that's also on our Facebook page. $30 billion. Well, eventually it's real money. but I was looking it up real quick because I thought we were in that right vicinity. And the entire GDP of Escambia and Santa Rosa County together is somewhere in that area. It's around $30 billion. So what you're talking about the federal government doing is basically the expanded subsidy, right? The enhanced subsidy. That's like saying that the entire work product of our two-county area just goes to, you know, whatever. It's a big deal. It's only two aircraft carriers. I mean, it's not that much money. I'm joking, right? It's a lot of money, right? Anyway, 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Landrum Annual 5K Run Walk is Saturday morning, starting at the downtown Landrum offices. Everyone is encouraged to get out and get moving. Proceeds benefit Lakeview Center. The Taste of the Beach Food Festival is Saturday from 10 till 4. Come out for the flavors, the fun, and new features showcasing the best chefs and restaurants on the beach. Find out more at PensacolaBeachChamber.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Riot, Alice. You're a regular riot. Hope they like those jokes on the moon, because that's where you're going.
I'm going to the moon!
Oh, man. Y'all remember when domestic violence was funny? 5:57.
Dude, what?
Well, Ralph Cramden.
I know, but
you know, he's threatening Alice and punch her to the moon. He's always threatening her and yelling at her, and it's, you know, back when domestic violence was funny. I mean, he never did anything, and part of the great, great satire in that show was that she was really in charge, and he was completely impotent, you know, in terms of the relationship, right? Which, you know, common. And so, you know, on the surface, it sounds like threatening domestic violence, but, you know, in reality, she'd just look at him and laugh and know that if he ever laid a finger on her, it'd be the end of him, right? So
exactly.
But, ha-ha, domestic violence. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. A 29-year-old former Uber driver has been arrested in connection with the Palisades Fire, one of Los Angeles' most devastating wildfires. It claimed a dozen lives. Authorities say Jonathan Rinderknecht intentionally set that fire, which was a continuation of the Lackman fire that he apparently also reportedly started on New Year's Day. He was taken into custody in Florida, actually, and faces charges of destruction of property by means of fire. The National Guard has been deployed to the Chicago area for an initial 60 days, despite a lawsuit challenging their presence. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has condemned the deployment, and he believes it's unconstitutional. And KISS frontman Gene Simmons recovering after a crash in Malibu. Apparently, his SUV hit a parked vehicle. The driver reportedly suffered a medical emergency. Simmons said that he fainted before that crash, but he reassured his fans that he is fine, and he said it was just a slight fender bender.
How are his family jewels? Well, that was his show, right?
Yes.
Too soon.
Yes,
too soon.
Was it?
Ruined everything.
I do.